I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word. Welcome to our Sunday service here on Facebook. I'm glad all of you have joined in. We have a few announcements. I just want you to know, number one, you don't need to register your attendance. We'll know that you were on here. And you don't even have to silence your cell phones. You're good where you are. But I do want you to know that tonight we'll begin our first Bible study of the Easter season. It will begin at 5:30 and it'll be on Zoom. Now, you should have received an email by now letting you know how to connect with Zoom, and I hope that you want to be a part of this very special service of Bible study, because when we get together and we do a Bible study, we usually learn quite a bit and have discussion, and with Zoom, we can do that. We can actually have discussion. Also want to remind you, next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Lest anything change, we will be back with you via video on Facebook for Palm Sunday. And last but not least, I do want to thank all of you for your faith and your commitment to Central Christian Church. With that, we're going to move forward into our service, and we're going to begin with a pastoral prayer. So I ask that you bow your heads and join me in prayer. Gracious God, we offer thanks for this day and for the opportunity to be here together in worship. During this time, may we be able to put aside the concerns of our daily lives, let go of all the demands that crowd upon us, and simply be present here to your Spirit and your words. In the spirit of the psalm, may we be still and know you are God. We offer you prayers of thanksgiving for life and all those things that make life good. In these warm spring days, surrounded by nature's beauty, we offer gratitude for the abundance and fertility of the earth. The wonders of nature take us unaware and raise our hearts to you. Help us in our gratitude not to take this abundance and beauty for granted. Help us as we work to maintain the health and the beauty of the earth for generations to come. Help us as well as we seek to make this good earth a safe home for all your children. We confess, though your earth is abundant, many of your children live in poverty and want. We know from your words, through prophets and apostles, this is neither your will nor your purpose. Sustain us with the gift of hope as we work to do your will, so all people might share fairly in the good things of your creation. We bring to you our concerns for peace in our community and the world. We ask that you be with those who have contracted COVID-19, that you be with us who are working hard to follow rules that we may not be victims of this dreaded virus. We bring our concern for family and friends. We bring our concerns for refugees and for those living with fear. We bring to you our personal concerns for ourselves and our families. In all these things, we ask for the strength to face the hard realities of our world, not to despair, but to stand with the vulnerable, the victims of violence and injustice, and those who live on the margins of life and the fear of the pandemic we face. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 14. I ask that you listen very carefully to this. I think it's very relevant to what's going on in our world today. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and understanding of his word. This scripture evokes images in my mind that stir my soul. It always has, always been one of my favorites. To imagine a valley of bones suddenly rattling, coming together, muscle and tissue forming on them, then skin, eyes, teeth, and then a whole person is absolutely exciting. And to think Ezekiel saw this. And that's quite amazing. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. But in that, the mummy comes to life and you actually, through Hollywood, see something very much like this. The sinews, the skin, the eyes, the teeth, everything coming on. I think God would no doubt do a much better job than Hollywood, but nevertheless, it gives us some idea of how that worked. You know, some people are like those old bones. Their minds have grown dim, their hearts cold, and their will to live has left them. We're not talking a physical death, but a spiritual death. And a spiritual death is very much a different thing than a physical death. Have you ever tried to restore a person like that? Someone who has died spiritually? Tried to give them hope, tried to show them a more excellent way, and they are just dried up, dry bones. I think so many people in our society today are spiritually dead. And I think that is incumbent upon us as followers of Christ to address that issue. There was a young man from Britain who said, "When we buried my father 20 years ago, my mother had him buried in his bathrobe and pajamas. She wanted to communicate the truth that the Christian body is only asleep at death, that one day his body will awake and there will be a resurrection. The bathrobe and pajamas were a beautiful illustration of that truth." Now, if my dad had known what my mom did, the young man said, he would have rolled over in his casket. He was a proper English gentleman, and the thought of anyone being buried in their pajamas, well, it just wasn't proper. But guess what? The young man continued. He did not roll over in his casket. He didn't even twitch. He just lay there like nothing was going on. The pajamas had no effect on him. We could have kicked and screamed and yelled, and still he would have lain there with his eyes closed, looking perfectly content. Why? Because when you're dead, you're separated from all that is going on in the world. In fact, that's what death means in the Bible. In the Bible, when you speak of death, it means separation. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. But spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. We could take this passage from Ezekiel literally, that there were dry bones all around and God restored them to life. We could. But what if we look at the passage as a spiritual story, which I believe it is? What if we were to think of all the people we have known and know who are spiritually dead? And what if, like Ezekiel, we see ourselves as the ones called to restore those who are spiritually dead? Can you envision that? If we took the call of Jesus to help those who have lost hope? I feel certain the question will come, but how, preacher? How do we do that? Well, let's hear what Ezekiel tells us. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live.'" Sounds like a spiritual death. "I will put my spirit in you and you shall live." People in our world today, with what's going on in our world, in our own country, are finding themselves spiritually dead and they're losing hope. What is the number one cause of spiritual death? A loss of hope. Number one. So in order for us to restore those who are spiritually dead, we must give them hope. If you have lost a loved one or loved ones, it is easy to lose hope. If you've lost your job or suffered a financial blow that has affected your future, it is easy to lose hope. And if you lose your freedoms, like the freedom to move about in your own community and participate in events and activities that you enjoy, it is easy to lose hope. And that's really where we are today, isn't it? But here's what I say to you today. As a people of faith, a people who believe God will see us through tough times, as he did for those who have gone before us, then we will always have faith if we fall back on what God has already done. For example, we would not have Central Christian Church if people hadn't had faith and hope during the Great Depression. It wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have had any hope had people have just given up when Ebola hit our country. Remember that one? What about when polio was the dreaded disease that everyone was worried about, getting polio? You see, we've been through so much, and our people who started this church, who were the foundation of building this church, lived through those times. And they still had a church. Give hope to those who are suffering, those who do not have the faith to see their way through all of this. Remember the words of Reverend Robert Schuller, the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral back in the day? "Tough times never last, but tough people do." That's a true statement. Folks, these are times for us to be tough, for our faith to be tough, and hang in there that we may see the glory of the new world when this is all over, as we did after 9/11. If those around us, especially those who are sitting on the fence between believing and not believing, if they see us set a sorry example that we as followers of Christ have given up, that we have no faith, no hope, then we've lost them. Here's the thing, we're supposed to be an example. Folks should be able to see us and know there is hope. They should see us and know they should keep the faith. They should see us and want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In truth, if our faith is well placed, we should be the toughest people on earth, should we not? Now, you may recall this movie. If you've seen it, it's wonderful. But there's a movie called The Matrix. And in that movie, there is this man named Morpheus who helps to lead these rebels that are fighting the machines that have taken over the world. And Morpheus finds this young man who they call Neo, and he believes that he is the Savior, that he is the guy that's going to bring them out and bring victory over the machines. It's one of the most profound things I've seen. If ever there was a movie that talked about faith, the faith that we profess here in the church, this movie does. Because I want you to hear this. In one scene, as Morpheus is standing before the council and asked to defend his actions, he is confronted by the military commander. And he says to Morpheus, "Not everyone believes what you believe, Morpheus." And very calmly and boldly, Morpheus replies, "My faith doesn't require that they do." Wow, that's quite a statement, and I totally agree with it. My faith isn't built upon the notion that I have to convince others. My faith isn't weakened when someone else says they don't believe. My faith doesn't change to suit the climate of the current culture. You see, my faith is built upon my relationship with God. My faith is demonstrated when I share with others who God is to me, what He is doing in my life, and how I trust Him with my future. Don't allow the world to define your faith. We, you and me, are to become the hands and feet of our Lord. And if we are hiding in fear, complaining about our situation, what example are we setting for those around us? Hands and feet must move to perform ministry. They must move not in fear of, but in expectation of a new day. A day in which God will be with us on a new adventure. And it will be a new adventure when all of this is over. I don't think there's any denying that. "For the hand of the Lord came upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley." This story is all about the Spirit. When we get to the middle of the valley, what will we find after COVID-19? Will we find what Ezekiel found? That it was full of dry bones. "He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry." Is that what we find? People falling away even more than already have, because oftentimes Christians didn't set the example of hope and faith. Will we find dry bones? People without hope? People who have given up? Will we hear God say to us, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Because if we do, my answer, like Ezekiel's, will be, "O Lord God, only You know." Then God will say to us, "Give these people hope. Hope in a future. Hope in new life. Hope in Me." "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know I am the Lord." That's God's promise. All the way back in Ezekiel's time, "My Spirit will enter you and you will live." Here's the catch. We got to let God work in our lives. We have to let that happen. Let us not bury our heads in the sand, but stand tall in the name of the Lord. Let us give hope to the hopeless by being examples of hope, examples of faith, examples of love for our neighbors. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of the bones of the dead and all kinds of filth. So you also, on the outside, look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." I pray he's not talking to us during tough times. Then in the Gospel of John, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Are we to only look righteous but not be righteous? Appear to be faithful but not faithful? Do we want to look good on the outside but nothing but bones on the inside? We should be leaders during this time. We should be the ones to give people hope. We have a calling chain where people are calling and checking on other people. That gives hope. We have people who are loving and caring, and that gives hope. God knows it is the Spirit that gives life. His Spirit. Jesus knew it is the Spirit that gives life. Do we? Do you? God only knows if we truly do. And this is our testing time right now. May we be the people of God, be the hands and the feet, reach out to others, whether it be through email, text, whatever means of communication you have. May we check on others and be faithful to our Lord. That is what tough times call for, that we set the example. May God be with us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know that sometimes we become fearful. We begin to lose hope. We begin to lose our faith. Please, please fill us with your Spirit that we may not lose faith and hope. For we know we are to be examples to all in the world that they may know we are truly your followers. Be with us during this most difficult time. Uplift us and hold us in your loving arms, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message. And we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.